Well, I mean, our budget is there. We've got that. Fire's budget is there. They've got their funding, you know, taken care of. Really, everything moving forward has said, for all intents and purposes, what we're doing is we're taking fire's existing funding level and EMS's existing funding level, and at the beginning of this, we're going to match those. So we're able to take care of our obligations on the EMS side of things. We're able to take care of our obligations on the fire side of things. So I guess I'm unclear as to where the concern is.
Because it's really conceptual, I think. I mean, what you're saying is really conceptual. And I'm looking at it not just, you know, yes, the money matches and it goes together, but we have to make sure this is a long-term responsible choice. And I think looking at 3 to 5 year budgets is part of that process.
Well, I mean, it's unusual, is all I can say. It's not how government usually, you know, puts together their budgets. It's usually a year at a time.
Oh, sure.
With projections mm-hmm. moving out. Mm-hmm. Again, the thing is with the, you know, once integration happens, really all financial responsibility gets transferred to the fire department, and really all that remains behind are really two outstanding liabilities. And one is, you know, what happens with the CID, mm-hmm. But we've got money allocated for that. And the other is the building.
Yeah.
And, you know, and what we found, and just a real cursory kind of thing, is that we're not flipped on the building. Upside down. We know that the hospital's interested in it because they're maxed out. What they had planned was a 15-year or 20-year plan. Is now they're at capacity and they're looking for, they're scrambling for space. Lease options, selling the building outright should cover that bond. You know, so really the only two financial burdens that happen, I think, are pretty well covered. So everything else in terms of how you maintain the staffing, how you, you know, do vehicle replacement, how you do capital, all, you know, if we've got that pretty well planned at the EMS side and the fire's got that planned on the fire side, when you put the together at current funding levels, we should be good to go. We know already that we're going to find efficiencies. And so really, it's I think it's a win-win for us. In terms of we're saving taxpayers' money, we're being efficient. We're actually, I kind of take exception to when Frazier was saying that, you know, in mergers and acquisitions, this is not a merger and acquisition. There's no, these aren't two competing interests, one trying to take over another one. These are two government entities, and what we're really trying to do is create efficiency in government. We've got redundant systems. We've got redundant administrative systems. We've got redundant insurance. We had redundant radios. And when you look at the fact that what's so exciting about, and I'm going to hold up the whole Codan vote right now, the property tax vote. It came fast and furious. There wasn't a whole lot of public, you know, outreach, and it was overwhelmingly supported because it's the first time in years that we started talking about this on a county level. It was not, well, we're San Juan Island, we're going to take care of our own stuff. And even to the point where we're San Juan EMS and we'll take care of ourselves and fire you, do your thing. You know, at least San Juan Island was talking, but it's not just Orcas talking or San Juan. Everybody's talking, and we're seeing the benefits of a county-wide kind of situation. And I think, you know, we know that that's beneficial to the taxpayers. We know that's beneficial to our responders. It's confusing. Oftentimes, you have people who are firefighters and people who are EMTs and people who do both, and you kind of respond to a scene as, is it my fire hat? Is it my EMS hat? Which log do I sign in on? One agency, it's like, we go and we take care of the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's, you know, that's kind of where we are. And that's where I see it. It's not a typical merger and acquisition. There's not somebody wins and somebody loses. It's making government more efficient, which is exactly what we're trying to do.
Do we have a public comment section?
Can I?
Somebody leaning in.
Public comment is not on the agenda.
It's not, but it should be.
Yes. Go ahead.
Is it now?
I would like to simply say that we've heard everything that's been said at this table. We've heard it over and over again. What taxpayers would like to see is some sort of a document that lays out a plan and includes operational stuff, administrative stuff, financial stuff. Maybe 50 pages, doesn't need to be more. But one of the things that needs to go into that document is some sort of review by people on the outside who have done this and who can say, oh, that makes sense, or oh, you have forgotten this or that or the other. That's what I, as a taxpayer, am looking for. And I don't think you can leave it as the spoken word, because the spoken word goes, you know, every time. That's all I have to say tonight. Thank you.
And dovetailing that, again, I'm new, brand new commissioner. I'm a map person, and I would like to see, I really support that idea. I would like to see a written roadmap, a plan. This is
our 12 to 18 month implementation plan, essentially.
That's what I
and so think even if it's just our need, it's not necessarily your need, and really, you know, probably there's lots of ways things can happen, and most of the time things work well because of people involved and the expertise involved anyway. But if you, like I brought that up before, that if you lose somebody in the process, leaves the island or does something, and then it changes into a whole different kind of thing when you don't have the expertise there or the people who know what they're doing. And so the plan is really important, I think, for me and for us as people who aren't at the front lines of how this works, to see it and go, okay, this makes sense to me. I'm just a person in the community. I'm not somebody who's at the, who knows how this all works.
And keep in mind that Public Hospital District is responsible for EMS.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we know that. Yeah.
Until we're not.
Until you're not. Right.
Yeah, and so to speed this process, because we don't want to drag this out, and if it's something that, you know, hasn't been, you guys don't need it, and so it's not something that comes out of your heads just like, oh, this is what we're going to put on this plan. You guys have it in your head. So if we need it, getting a consultant to help do it and make it happen so it just gets laid out and we can move forward, that would be great. To put all of our minds at ease and be able to say, also be able to speak really clearly to taxpayers, because I can't, you speak very well about the whole process, and when somebody asks me, I go, well, we're, you know, doing this. So it'd be really great to say, okay, in the next 6 months, here's the thing, we're going to do annexation, and then the next thing we're going to do is get the public involved to make sure they really want this. We're going to okay this contract. We're going to take the next step to integrate the insurance costs, whatever it is that we're doing, so that in our minds it's like, oh, it's a process not just happening kind of synergistically between you guys, but
right,
the rest the of us.
Right, timeline. I mean, that's what I would like to see for the time.
Yeah, anything like that. Timeline, a plan, a map, whatever it is.
The timeline and plan.
So we want this consultant to be somebody who you just use. I mean, you're using this person to put the plan in place so that somebody can write it out, because you guys don't have time to necessarily write a 50-page plan with this map. You have the map in your head. You just need to tell somebody, and they need to write it out for you and add things that we might forget, like, oh, we need to combine the insurance, or we need to figure out, we still need to work on this piece, and it's going to take 6 months. You know, that would be good for all of us to know, I think, too. Does that make more sense?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's obviously our purview to hire an outside consultant. Like, we are the board. So if that's something that we need, that's something that we can do. I mean, right now EMS is in a really good place. You guys provide excellent medical care to our community, you know? So that's not what we're worried about. We're just more talking about, like, we are not responsible for EMS. We are responsible for EMS, and until there's a formal handover, you know, we have to explore integration further and make sure that we've looked at every aspect of this. That's our responsibility.
So we allowed a public comment. Can we allow public comment too? Because you guys,
you did, but according to our schedule, you can't. Because it wasn't posted in your special meeting, you can't by RCW.
You so have I public comment?
Yeah.
Oh, so I said it, because like, I was just going to ask you.
I appreciate that, but by RCW in a special meeting, if you want public comment, you have to state it, and it was specifically stated, no public comment. So I appreciate
No, it didn't say no public comment.
It wasn't.
We can't.
Listed.
I'm not sure. Is that? I'm not totally sure that's accurate. I think
is
okay. I thought that was a difference between being able to offer the opportunity for public comment or being required to allow public comment.
It's got to be on the agenda.
Because I was really hoping to hear from you, and now so I
you
can't. I mean, we. So what you're saying is, I can't hear. We can't hear from you.
I would love to share and dang it,
yeah.
Because I had that come up at one of our meetings.
Okay.
And because the special meetings has specific rules and regulations of what we can and can't do.
And it's,
okay. Oh, specifically
this,
to
this goes out to the public.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And
right.
So when they see that there's no public comment, okay. Then some people don't show up.
Okay.
So,
all right, well, we need to put that in. Remember to put
that makes
in.
Sense. That makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because I'm really disappointed because I really wanted to. See, I need to hear this. I mean, I don't. I mean, I know you were from Sauvie Island, right? Is that where you were? Yeah.
A few different places.
Okay.
That's one.
Yeah. And that was integrated.
Wait, you're making him continue.
Oh, man, I'm so sorry.
Speak. You're making the rules. Now we go.
I'll stop now.
Now I videoed that.
Yeah.
In case
you know, I thought
against him. I got
about
it.
The things that caused me to have trouble with this whole process. And one of them was that we've not had the history of working with this process. We have not had the luxury of actually being part of the planning of this at all. Four of us are brand new. I was going to point that out, that two of the five commissioners actually were not even part of the process, even though it was going on. Mm-hmm. So virtually this hospital board was just handed something by three of the previous commissioners and saying, here. So we are wildly uncomfortable with what we've been given. Which is what you're hearing, is all of that discomfort. There's another thing. I am really impressed with Chief Collins and Chief Kutzing. I believe they are very capable of putting together operational. I think they both do great budgets. And Quinn, and I believe EMS should be combined with fire. I think we will be served very well by them. And I'm scared spitless if they suddenly go away. What happens if Chief Collins gets a better offer and gets to run a bigger outfit somewhere at twice the money in Hawaii or a better outfit? Okay?
Yeah.
As long as he takes me with him.
And we don't have something in place.
Yeah. The roadmap.
With 50 pages.
Yeah.
And a roadmap that we are following with great detail. Uh-huh. That we are comfortable with taking us where we want to go. Oh, it's all handled. That's why I'm not comfortable. Mm-hmm. We don't have any of that. And that's real.
So, to kind of help with a little bit of history, the idea was as when Commissioner Smith and Commissioner Cardinale, we had, you know, they're the representatives on the steering committee who represent the governing body. It's their purview. As we started moving forward with the Integration Steering Committee, it was, all right, what do steps look like? And we relied on Rich Davis, who is our attorney, mm-hmm. who's been involved in lots of these consolidations, these integrations. And he laid out something, and we thought, okay, that's a very comprehensive plan. It was phase one, phase two, tried to address all the things about rolling stock, tried to talk about medical equipment, you know, where, how are these things handled? And he said, that's too expansive. And we asked that we come up with something instead of one document that has a multi-phased approach. Let's deal with phase one, which was, and to talk about, let's talk about the ICS structure. We know that when you have somebody who's in charge, the incident commander, and that's who you're going to, and who has the big picture, that's the most efficient way to do it. Oftentimes, what we had done in the past is if you have, okay, I'm standing here as an EMS chief, and Norman is standing there as the fire chief, and we've got law enforcement on the scene, and we're all three kind of talking together, and then before, you know, we've got a confab before, you know, it's doable, it's done, it's not the most efficient way to do it. It's a, you know, instead of a...
There's no who's in charge.
There's no one person who can take all that input and doing that. And we realize that that's the best way to handle it, is if we take the existing administration, so Chief Collins, Assistant Chief Monin, myself, and put us together and say, now we have, you know, what's going on. We can look at the budget. And the ILA that was drafted was to give that authority specifically from both governing bodies to say, you've set up a solid incident command system. Okay, and that allows us to look at the budget, that allows us to look at the operations, and by trying out and working through an operational model, we can start to demonstrate instead of just guessing in terms of where cost savings are, where efficiencies can be, you know, handled, how we're going to deploy staff, all those kinds of things. And as those questions became answered, we could get more detailed and then lay out the final project. So that was the plan behind the ILA. So it was that two-phased approach. Let's consolidate the administration. Let's give it the authority to do what it needs to do. EMS is still a separate entity. Fire is still a separate entity until they are formally put together. That EMS budget's in place. That fire budget's in place, but now we have one overarching who can take a look at it and say, you know what, you don't need to spend that because we're going to take care of that over here. It's not going to, you get, I don't want to get into too specific in details, but you get the idea. And so that was what was put forward, and there was contention on the previous configuration of the board. It got passed 3-2, it went over to fire. And then now you're up to speed in what's going on. So if we're...
Right, so that was just too uncomfortably a hands-on approach to... Like, the ICS is very hands-on. You're just planning. Every morning you have a meeting and you talk about, you know, it's not... There's not a layout. And so I guess that was uncomfortable in that. But that's a nice explanation of it. It makes a lot more sense to me why it happened that way.
Right.
And I think that what we're saying is we want the roadmap to... the final product more than the previous.
Well, like I was saying, we were not, none of us, were part of any of that planning. It's like here, we've written this check, trust us. Three of the five said here, trust us. And we have the responsibility, and it's just, you know, it's very, very, I can't just trust us. When I have that kind of responsibility, I have to know more than that. The other thing is, I don't really know the fire commissioners. And it's like this. I say to the fire commissioners, how would you like me to run your department? How would you like the five of us to run your department in 6 months or in a year or 2 years? Never having run your department, how would you like me to do that? Because we're going to ask you to do that for us. So really, I mean, that's what's going to happen. We're going to ask the fire commissioners to run EMS. So
we're giving up our child.
No,
right?
I understand.
It was going to be adopted by somebody else.
Let me just maybe give a little context. You know, as the Board of Commissioners, really, you say, here's the goal, right? This is where we'd like you to see. Here's the focus. And then you basically hire a chief to implement that. So it's not the Board of Commissioners running the department. They provide the goal setting and make sure that you don't get out of line financially to do that. And that's why you hire a chief executive officer.
Well, that's right. We're administrating. What was the word they used in that training?
Governance.
Governance. Yeah. Yes. So we oversee, and
but
so
we're not
we will
managing.
Hand
we're
it, hand
definitely
it off
not micromanaging.
But true, but so that chief answers to the board, so we need to know that other board. And part of the problem that I have is, and this is relates to something that the CAG said, which is, they said one of their absolutes was that they need to have more commissioners on the fire board. And part of the reason is that, I think, that is that the commissioners on the fire board are all fire commissioners. And, you know, their thing is fire. And this isn't about people who are, I mean, firemen put their lives on the line. They are taking care of the people of San Juan County. EMS is, they are doing the same thing, taking care of the people of San Juan County. They're all doing the same thing. Everybody involved in this is doing the exact same thing. They all have the same goals, which is to take care of the people of San Juan County. So it's not like there's any evil characters or incompetent characters or anything like that in this mix. It's not that at all. So that, you know, that isn't the issue here. It's understanding and making sure that everybody who is working on this understands what they're getting into, what we're getting into, what the fire commission is getting into, what everything is, so that everybody feels comfortable, because it's a big deal. Why on earth the fire commission would want to take this on?
I'm afraid they
Lord knows. Yeah, I don't know why they really would.
And I think we can't dictate who is on a commission. That's up to
the public. I understand that,
yeah.
but they have to understand that I don't know them. I did meet Bob Jarman years and years ago, but I don't know him. I have never met Commissioner Cardinale. He's never been ever. I've never even seen him. He's mm-hmm. never been anywhere but on a telephone for any of the meetings I've been to, so I don't know the man. So it's really hard to get a sense for somebody you've never even met or even seen. You know, it's, yet we are going to, as you say, give our baby to another commission, and they do have the authority over the chief or whoever the chief is. They will, if the chief leaves, they will hire the next chief. And I agree that we will have to be clear in our minds what this will have to be, what we want to see for us to blend the thing, and fire will have to be comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. It'll have to be okay with them too. That's why it has to be a collaboration.
Right. But they've said they don't want to expand their board.
Well.
Okay, well, so we have an option of writing a very simple MOU, mm-hmm. which just says, we support integration. There is the intention to create a roadmap document report that lays out how it's going to happen, and we want to hire a consultant to help with that process to expedite that and make that most successful. We, and whatever else we want to put in it, but we have the opportunity to create something that just says, at this point in time, we support integration, and these are the steps that are happening. There's going to be, you know, a financial and operational roadmap to how the integration is going to happen and whatever else we want to put in. Is that a possibility here?
I mean, we certainly could take action and create an MOU or some other type of agreement. That's absolutely something that we can do as a board. We, you know, the more we talk about this, the more I'm concerned that we don't really know what we want right now because we don't have a lot of information, and I would be reluctant to use the ILA as sort of a framework for an MOU because I think it was sort of a flawed document.
No, I'm just saying write an MOU. I'm not saying, and then...
You know, yeah. I mean, we have another option here. I mean, we don't have to do anything. and we could talk about these consultants, and we could move in that direction. And
well, that was included in that, okay. Was about the consultants, sure. Too. Okay, so we still leave the...
But, like, I mean, so what would go into an MOU then if we were going to draft an MOU? And is it important to do that?
Well, if I may, just a couple of things. First of all, please understand that we're the anomaly here in terms of the national model. When you say fire commissioners running a fire department, that is, for all intents and purposes, by definition, a fire and EMS mm-hmm. kind of response thing. Mm-hmm. And Commissioner Cardinale was involved in San Francisco Fire Department. That is what they do. They do fire and EMS. Mm-hmm. So it's not just a fire focus. It is a wholly integrated, all hazards, taking care of the community approach. So that's there. Please don't feel like fire commissioners just understand fire. That's inaccurate. The other thing to say is, you as a board are acting kind of unilaterally right here. You're not. You know, and I understand, you know, it's you guys who are coming up to speed, but, you know, before you start to change things and figure out what's going on, figure out, you know, talk, maybe what we need to do before we draft anything is have that joint meeting, talk, you know, have all eight of you sitting in that room together.
And, I would and like that.
Well, mm-hmm. then maybe that's what we need to do before we start.
I've wanted it a long time. So benefit
us all. Can I follow up with a question on that? Sorry to interrupt, but I know at the last meeting we had a discussion about having, I mean, that was my proposal, right, that we sit down and we have some of our leadership sit down, some of their leadership, and try to move this forward. Has there been any contact along those lines since then, or do we have any new information, or has this kind of sat since our last meeting?
It's been a week.
No, that's, I was just trying to understand where we were on that. Okay.
I mean, I'm happy to call Commissioner Jarman.
You're cheating.
And try to arrange something.
Well, and I'm not saying we have to do that. I'm saying that was my suggestion. I just was trying to figure out if we have.
I don't really want to act on behalf of the board without your approval, so without everyone's approval. But I'm happy to work with the chiefs to arrange something like that.
Well, it was going to be the next steering committee meeting, potentially.
Right. That was the conversation
to do that.
The steering committee meeting is on the 17th, and so we could address it then, certainly, and then find a day that we have.
That's next week.
No, it's
a weekend.
Oh, wait, sorry.
Yeah.
So, we're green.
So that's the steering committee meeting, and that would be the place to address that, I think.
Okay, and
that's the two of us, yeah.
I know, I feel at this point...
Well, but if that's what we're... We did this last meeting. Do we want to have everybody in the room? Do we need to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Then we can do that. That's a different than the steering committee, but I was trying to say, hey, we do have members of the steering committee here, so maybe we do all need to meet and shake hands and say, oh, you're so-and-so. We've been hearing so much about you.
Not shaking hands.
So I personally don't feel like I need to be there, just to be really clear, but I do feel like a huge topic of conversation needs to be, what are we doing for our next steps? And if this is going to maybe happen, what do we want to do and have, I think at this point, those two organizations have more of the time. I'm not sure. Maybe the town is going to take up some time too. I know they have their vote coming up, and I know there's the annexation as well, and those are probably big topics. But I think we have to have a focus on what the organizations are going to do to come together. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I've got a lot of thoughts. I'll share a couple right now. I haven't really spoken too much, but I am a little bit cautious about overstepping as a board, as a commission here in terms of what happens. I don't necessarily agree with some of the public comments last time about an M&A, although I think the comments were more about a hostile takeover than a merger and acquisition. But at the same time, we need clear information, and some of that information, and really, I actually don't care that I don't know the other people that well either. That isn't an issue for me. The issue for me has been that when we've asked for information, initially we were told there was some, and it kind of kept turning out there wasn't. And again, they're kind of the same questions. You know, like, what does the budgeting look like? What do the personnel look like? What does the organizational chart look like? What are some of these kind of basics that would come out of an integration? And I don't think that 2 years out is too far ahead to have some of that information, or at the very least identify the person who's going to do it and the time frame in which they're going to do it, or the group of people. So I feel like there have been a lot of statements about things kind of being taken care of, right? We're headed this way, we're headed that way. I don't see any documentation that supports that at this point. And that's my big concern. You know, and even we did get an appraisal that looked great for a number, but at the same time, it's a pretty unique kind of building. So maybe the hospital is interested in it, and that's great. I'd love to hear from them, have a letter from somebody there express that interest. They don't have to sign a contract, but at least say, yes, we are reaching our capacity in terms of our space. And so we are going to be looking for a new space that matches up with the space we have over the next couple of years, right? So just having something like that to be able to take that and then go to people and say, look, we've got clear, justified information, and this is why you should support it. And there are some real reasons that we need that information at this point. Mm-hmm. Part of it is a comment that Annalisa made earlier, which is that the integration that is being discussed right now is not the integration that the Citizen Advisory Group proposed. It does not include 2 out of 7 absolute conditions, which sounds pretty serious to me. Yeah. That was something they thought they needed, right? Cross-trained paid personnel and a 5-member board. I don't know where we're going on some of these other things, mainly just because I haven't, they have things about operational budgets and that. We just don't have that information yet, or capital equipment plan. We don't have that information yet either. So I think on the 2 items where we do have information, or at least a proposal going forward, it's so far contrary to the recommendation. So that's why I think having this information is really critical. I mean, we heard from one member of the public who is generally an outspoken person. We heard from him at the last meeting that he didn't support it. He'd come on board, did support it after this CAG, and no longer supports it. And so that's the kind of concern that I want to make sure that we're addressing as at least the current stewards of the EMS. With that oversight. I don't consider it a baby necessarily. I just don't have those maternal instincts. I don't see it as a baby. I see it as an entity that needs to continue providing excellent medical service at a reasonable price. And that's kind of my goal, is that I can feel comfortable that that's going to happen, and I can tell other people the same thing as it goes forward towards integration. So I think I've probably said more than I needed to, but we're not there. And I want to see a path forward and know who's going to do that. I don't know, it has to be a consultant.
I think you need to show up, Kyle, and help. After that, you got to show up at the meeting. Right.
No, I don't need to be at the meeting. I'm happy to have our representatives at the meeting. Well, I could, but do we really want to publish notice of one of our meetings at the steering meeting? No, I don't think that's a good idea.
Okay, I really appreciate what you just said, because you just really laid it out. What are the next steps? So we need clear information. That's obvious. That's where we're all
written,
at.
Just written.
Budget, financial, capital equipment, personnel, an organizational chart, some sort of plan there, and then an ops plan, right? So we need a timeline of when those things are going to happen, and this is information that then everyone and I can take to our steering committee meeting, and we can talk about it there. Aside from that, Nathan did a lot of research on an outside consultant, mm-hmm. which I'm starting to, you know, after our conversation yesterday, I'm feeling kind of excited about some of the information we put together. I'm thinking that bringing someone in from the outside who's an independent person who has experience with this could really resolve a lot of these issues. So clearly we need to bring that as a proposal to the fire board if they want to participate in that or not, and give them that opportunity. Or we need to decide as a board how we're going to move forward. So is this a good time to discuss the research that Nathan did? Start right on.
Sure.
You want to speak? speak out. I mean, you did a really nice job writing out for us. Yeah. But you talked to a bunch of people in the last week.
Yeah.
Can, before we start that, just one thing I just wanted to address
about the CAG.
Please understand what that document is. Okay, it was a consensus document, and it stretched longer than what was originally planned because they delved deeper. It is a recommendation. They don't have any regulatory authority, and part of those things, like those two absolute recommendations, was a poor choice of wording. They really have no way of saying that these are absolute. And I think when a couple of them came down, it was the group was saying, we need to be done with this. And okay, we'll put it in there because it was a consensus-based kind of thing. The one particularly recommendation about all staff members being cross-trained, that was a decision that was a failed experiment on Orcas Island. And so we felt that's a wrong.
You know, we've talked about this before, and I don't think he's saying those have to be there.
Okay.
We know that.
What I'm saying is the only thing we have out in the public right now is this.
Okay.
And I know they're not regulatory, so thanks, Kyle. I totally understand that.
Right.
What I'm saying is this is out there.
I guess I misunderstood then.
Yeah, we don't have to
reconcile
both of those.
But what they were saying, though, was if, according to the authors here, if it does go forward, these are things they feel must be a part of it. Again, they're not in control of that process. What I'm saying is members of the public have read this, you know, 8 or 9, and those 8 or 9 are going to have some serious questions, and they know a lot of other people, right? They're going to have some serious questions if what are considered by this absolute conditions are met. So I think it'd be really helpful to have that kind of a justified response. Mm-hmm. If we do go back and say, no, integration is now taking this kind of shape, and this is why it doesn't follow, you know, word line by line, the citizen advisory group. That's how I see
but
it.
But once we start to get things in writing, yeah, it's going to be a lot easier to say, okay, here's our process, and here we are, and here's what...
And I understand that, and you and I, we've spoken about some of those reasons,
right.
But having that conversation is different than saying, okay, we've got...
Because you always have to respond to everything. Mm-hmm. You're always the one on the front line. You just have to have a little tape. You're like, here's this issue.
But that's my job. I mean, that's why you hired me. That's why the fire commissioner hired Norman. Is because that's
right.
That's
exactly.
What we do.
Yeah.
You know, we. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you're a manager. You're telling us what's happening. We need you to do
that's
that.
That's the job.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I must have forgot this again. Here, I'm going to tell him again. This is our reason for this.
I forget.
Those guys are so dense.
Yes, I forget that I explained this before.
Yeah. Can I say something here?
Yes, you may.
You know, I do think there's a bit of a disjunction here. You know, I know that as a board, you're a little uncomfortable with some of the issues, and as you guys have outlined, you know, this is stressful for staff, too, and I think probably stressful for people on the fire district side and then also on the town. To me, it strikes me as a fundamental disjunction with respect to whose responsibilities are what. What will be done and when will it be done? And I think that if we can resolve that to everyone's satisfaction, it will help all of us. For instance, taking the financial component, I don't think anybody disagrees that there should be significant financial analysis. The disagreement is who will do it and when will they do it. Mm-hmm. And so if we can resolve those issues, perhaps through an MOU, I think it'll be helpful to all of us and make all of us more comfortable. So there's not this constant, I don't want to say tug of war, but kind of dissonance between the different segments of this project over who should be doing what and when. And so that's a really good thing to talk over with the fire district and worth talking through. With respect to the consultant, Pam, Carl, and I talked, and I don't know if Carl's position has changed, but I still feel the same way. And that is that don't have an issue with a consultant. I think that they could add something. They could be additive, particularly in analyzing different aspects of the project. But it needs to be done in collaboration with the fire district. And I don't think we should be looking to a consultant for leadership. Leadership's to stay with the steering committee and to the people who delegated to that steering committee. And the consultant can add something, be additive to the process, but not take over the process.
Well, certainly. I mean, the leadership is within this board and within the fire board and the steering committee, so.
So those are my
thoughts. That's pretty broad leadership, though. Actually, that's I mean, maybe more dispersed than it should be.
Well,
and I heard Nathan proposing it was a steering committee as a group. Not necessarily like this board and the fire district board.
Well, the steering committee is providing leadership, which they need to bring back to the boards for agreement.
Yeah,
but they're still the ones driving the process, and that should remain the case.
Ultimately, every single person on this board is going to sign a contract that signs EMS over.
Right, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if their process goes forward, who's the one who's kind of directing the process? Right? It's important to know, like, who's the one who's telling somebody what to do? Is it a consultant who comes in and says, no, we're going to do this, 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 and this? Or is it a steering committee that says, here's where we need extra capacity and where we would like to consult with you and get feedback from you? I don't know. To me, that's a,
who does
that's
what
a good question.
And when.
I'd like to see that as part of the master plan. I mean,
what master plan?
Right.
Well, that's what I'm asking for, the master plan, the map.
Well, that's the whole thing, is I think that creating the map, this consultant comes in, talks to both of these, works mostly with these two at the beginning to figure out what's going on, where you're at, and just puts down in words what's happening and helps to formulate the map. That's pretty much, you know, seems like it makes sense. The map, whatever we're calling it.
It's already well started. Gantt chart that we have. That is a great place. It just needs to be filled in with kind of the people who are doing it and when they're doing those tasks.
Yeah, there's a timeline. Yeah, and there's a timeline, and then there's what we...
Who's doing...
What are the steps we're taking? Who's doing what? And at what?
And when.
And when.
Yeah, and if everyone can agree on that, then this process will go a lot more smoothly.
Who, what, and when? We know the where.
And,
actually, we don't fully know the where. I mean...
Salmon County.
I'm assuming... I'm assuming EMS's plan is to move to fire physically out of that building. Is that an absolute yet?
We don't have that just because, you know, there are facilities questions that, you know, and have to be planned and funded and paid for.
So I think who, what, where, and when. I think the where is important. I mean, I think that was, part of that roadmap.
Ultimately, there are 8 different fire stations that are occupied, and there's capacity to move things. We need administrative offices. We need all those kinds of things. It kind of, in terms of a deployment model, having an EMS station in town and the main fire headquarters on the outskirts of town seems kind of redundant. So it doesn't make sense to keep that. It's just how we deploy resources. A lot of that needs to be data driven. We need to know where are the appropriate places to stage apparatus, to stage personnel that can shift during the course of the year, during the peak summer season. But that's all stuff that should be data driven and not just...
And we have data.
We have some, yeah.
I mean, we have how many, we're middle of the island, south of the island, where most of the calls are. So we have that. I mean, so having an initial plan of here's what we're thinking, and that can change, would be great in words, because you guys have it, again, you have it in your head. And I didn't even know that. I thought you were going to be in one place, and now I'm like hearing, oh, yeah, well, of course, you could. You have all these different choices.
Well, headquarters will be in one spot. You know, the administrative spot should be all housed in one spot. You know, that's on our cursory level. That's where we are.
That's an example of a basket of issues, though. You know, disposition of assets once the integration takes place. So you have to answer, okay, who's going to decide these issues and when will they do it? You know, it's not something that you're just going to work out this month. You know, you got to agree with everyone, you know, who's going to handle this issue. And they're going to report back and everyone kind of has to sign off, but you still have to kind of decide who's going to handle this and when. And I think probably staff, the chiefs, feel like this is something that they should work out. And you guys have to decide whether you agree with that or not. And if you don't, then you guys are going to have to work that out. But you might also have a position on when that should be done. You know what I mean? So you guys need to get, we need to get this down in writing and work out who's going to do what and when. And I think that'll really help.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, right, because, I mean, a member of the public could have said to me, and I didn't even think about that, they could have said, hey, where is the new EMS going to be then? Yeah. They don't have that building anymore. And I would say, I have no idea. Right. And then somebody, EMS moves next door to them and the, you know, at the fire station there, and somebody comes in and says, nobody told me there'll be all these ambulances leaving close to my house. So, you know, just it'd be good, and just be good information to start thinking, to have people also
maybe
conceptualizing.
We need to propose this to the public, yeah, in that way.
There's that other part of, yeah.
Okay, so I have a proposal. Everett and I, as the steering committee, will take this information about the consultant to the steering committee for our next meeting, and we'll discuss it there and report back to you. Are you all comfortable with that?
That would be great.
Okay.
I think that'd be great. And if you can kind of propose, like, you know, question number one is, we'd like to maybe work with a consultant on this.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree? And question number two, here's a list of a few that we've looked into.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll take it from here.
Take the consultants to that too as well.
And it sounds like we need to have a joint meeting scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll work on that as well with both commissions.
And the intention of that meeting, besides meet and greet,
well, is to
figure out an MOU shop with them about, you know, the replacement for the ILA.
Right, and mm-hmm. And about just about this map too. I mean, I think that progress. Just talking about how progress is going to be made from there.
Well, I love the idea of, you know, fire knowing what we're thinking. We know what they're thinking. We know where they're coming from.
Asking questions and just talking.
Yeah.
Not a bad thing either.
So that is something that could happen. We could have all eight of us in one room with our two chiefs talking.
Probably not. I would include Duncan, potentially the mayor.
Yeah,
they're big events,
sure.
And they take some time
Duncan
to organize.
If Duncan wants to. I mean, once annexation is over, he may not care, is my feeling. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, so that's something legally we can do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Okay, should we talk about long-term planning now so we're not here all the time?
Now that our brains are so fresh and ready for other
things. I just want you to have it up since 3 a.m.
I know you're on fire.
I'm on fire.
So, thank you all for that conversation. But moving, Nathan put together sort of this. We're not bound by this at all. It was just sort of conceptual to help us think about things. I know Cal has concerns about it.
Sure, feel free to ignore me.
No, I...
Was that
a handoff?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Kyle,
no.
My feelings are going to be hurt, and I'm never going to forgive you.
No.
We're just going to be rivals and enemies forever. No, okay.
It's possible.
We're all the same
but
team.
That'll be your decision. Maybe.
You're an attorney, so I'll probably lose that.
No, so my main thought when I got this last night was that I thought we were going to have kind of a conversation that followed up on the question that the attorney asked at the end of that presentation a couple months ago, which was basically like, what are your goals for this organization?
Right.
And so I thought we'd have kind of a softer conversation. When I saw this, I thought, oh, this is looking a lot more like a strategic planning effort. And then I thought, okay, that's great, but there are people who know a lot more about this than I do, and one of them isn't here, and that's critical, right? So Pam is not here, and she's the superintendent.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be great to hear from Nathan and Carl and Pam, probably, and Annalisa, who has been here quite a while, first on some of these things. And it's just, this is a big thing that you don't usually just kind of throw out there and fill in and then do at a special meeting where you have other activities, right? Usually this is like a one-day affair. You have a consultant come in and they sit with you and they ask, and they learn a lot about your organization and ask you a lot of questions to help get you to good answers on this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying we have to, but I think that this is ambitious, and I think it's a little premature to do this without, especially without having our superintendent here.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
So,
I really just wanted to start dialogue. Mm-hmm. And we had basically laid out with Rich Davis what our goals were. Does anybody remember what they were?
Oh, yes, we have a cheat sheet also from Nathan.
Yeah, thank you. Nathan circulated that. That was great.
Nathan doesn't let us. We don't need to think for ourselves.
So please help me after.
So integration, paramedicine policies and procedures, aging in place and long-term care, mm-hmm. promoting and restoring trust, and affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that affordable housing.
Yeah, cheat sheet.
What the hell?
Yeah, that was from Annalisa's list.
That was right there. So that's what I wrote down.
Yeah,
from
yeah, I think probably though this is going to be a multi-step process. Oh, yeah. Tonight really is just starting things off.
Yeah, we're just going
to. Yeah, yeah, I don't. Because you're right. We need Pam here. And it's not something you're going to get done, you know, between 7:30 and 8 on a Wednesday night. So it's a time thing.
But so point being, we have this laid out here at the top of our cheat sheet. So, and Everett went ahead and actually filled his out.
Everett.
Oh, I started working on it.
I know, I'm so impressed. I mean.
Overachiever.
I know. Yeah. So would you like to share with us what your thoughts were?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, feel free. I filled out as much as I felt comfortable doing too. Yeah.
I went over the strengths, the opportunities, weaknesses, threats. I thought our strengths were, I think we do work together well as a group. I think we listen to each other, and I think we do a good job of giving our opinions, and I think we have a varied experience to call on. You know, I think it's great that everybody has comes from a different walk of life and has a different point of view. So I think that's a strength, and that we're good. I think we're honest and transparent. I think those are all major strengths. I think that in terms of opportunities, I think this is a wonderful opportunity to blend fire and EMS. I think we have an opportunity to do long-term care, aging at home, because we have nothing. So we have an opportunity to do something. So I think that is a major opportunity. Mm-hmm. Those are two. There may be more. Certainly affordable housing might be. I don't know what we can do in that, but that's another area. So weaknesses. This might be just mine, but inexperience is a weakness as a board.
Sure.
I think is the first thing I could think of, and I think of that as a major weakness. Threats. CID is a threat to us as a board. It's a major financial threat. And the threats are we need to make good decisions, but we're doing so, and the decisions we might have to make are now, and yet we are inexperienced. So those are, how do you get experience and make good decisions from a place of inexperience? So that's what I had as a threat. So those are the things, at least, that I did. The mission statements are pretty much, well, I thought that we wanted to engender trust in the board through openness and honesty, because I'm not sure that everybody has, in the public, has trusted this hospital board. And I would like to see that. I would like to maximize health care for the available funds, for funds that are available to all county residents. Some amount of health care. There's got to be health care to all county residents. That means even the really disadvantaged, we need to be sure that there is health care. So we have to watch that we provide as much health care as we can for the funds that are available. I think that's part of it. So we have to have trust, and then we have to do our job, I think, which is to see that we provide health care. We need to find long-term care solutions. That's really a hole for our community, and I think we have to do that within the framework of what's being done today. My vision is to develop a level of health care that makes it possible to stay in this island and not move off for health reasons. How many people do you know who have moved off this island for health? I would love people to say that they could stay here because we had such a great system on this island. They had a great place to get health care. They have wonderful EMS. They're not afraid that they're not going to get taken care of if they have a heart attack or something like that. You know, I would love them to be able to stay here and not move to the mainland because they're only 20 minutes from the hospital.
Or a system. That helps take people to all the specialists that we probably
Or they can have long-term care here. They don't have to move off island because somebody with an Alzheimer's unit is there and they're sick and tired of taking the ferry back and forth to take care of dad, you know, whatever it is. So my vision was to develop a level of health care that makes it possible to stay on the island. Values, transparency, honesty, and the ability to listen to the community. Of course, they have to say something. That's all I did. I couldn't go
any further. We have to have a public comment section.
I think that's all.
Yeah, actually, when I worked on this as well, and I kind of wrote my notes separately, but I actually had many of the same things. So.
Yeah, and I would add, just ad hocly, is that long-term care, it's great that that's a goal of ours, and I think it's happening. I think it's going to happen. I mean, I think we can support it and we can report on it, but I think it's happening. It's not going to happen here, I don't think. But I mean, it doesn't need to happen here because it's happening with the hospital. It's happening. But for us to be up to speed on it and support it in any way we can is great. I would put in support for low-income folks who need health care. And somehow, you know, managing the problems of the expenses of everything seems to me another goal that we've talked about at times, but we didn't put in there.
That's why, I think that's why that fifth item or whatever it was on that list, the affordable housing thing, it relates to the, you know, the need for employees. And that was one of the things the Life Care Center really struggled with. Unfortunately, they didn't have a COVID-19 infection and a whole bunch, but they did have trouble with their keeping staff on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I just found out today that she was very experienced, but still, she was a certified nursing assistant. She was leaving to go to work full time at Peace Island Medical Center in the ER, in the hospital, and they offered her $5 more an hour. She was making $25 an hour as a CNA at Life Care when those doors closed. In order to keep staff, they had to ramp those wages up, which is unheard of in long-term care. Mm-hmm. Well, she was worth every penny. But those wages are not in keeping
For facility
reimbursement
like that,
for, you know, for Medicaid and Medicare.
And that's something that we do have room in our levy to lift the lid for the PHD. That we do have an option to say to the public, we have this concept of aging in place, and we want to figure out how to fund a system that will support that. And so if that means subsidizing...
Well, that's true, but somebody else has to create the system. And I mean, we're not going to create a system. And, you know, it's happening. And Peace Island also has we have grants coming up and everything. So I think we will be able to support some system, but the system has to be built. And
we have to be part of creating the system. But I'm just saying that we could offer the financial support potentially, or the public could, to say that these are our values and we want to fund this here. So we just have to figure out what it is, you know, and so that's, you know, your aging in place committee and such. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, we've got, our levy right now is at 39 cents per 1,000. Mm-hmm. And the highest we can go is 75 cents. So I think when we did the math, we could generate an additional 1.3 million or so. Mm-hmm. And which might be enough to for a project ongoing, but probably not enough to like build anything. But you can still do a bond or an excess levy or something like that separately. So you have a lot of options, and additionally, you know, you can collaborate with a lot of the other agencies in the county on this. And of course, for every agency you had, you exponentially increase the difficulty and complexity of the project. but you can nevertheless come up with a significant amount of funding. And you know, the hospital here, you know, was built all with private money. If people see the need,
yeah,
it happens. You know, as one of the things Michael Edwards was amazing at was he knew everyone who had money. And he, on that committee, you know, they went and they did get together. A lot of people were willing to donate this money to build the hospital. You know, if you get these people on your side, you know, you can really punch above your weight. Mm-hmm. On a project like
this.
Like
our animal shelter.
Yeah, no kidding.
Or the theater, just saying.
Just, yeah, no argument here.
I was thinking about that. Once people find out that animals can catch the coronavirus, did you hear that in China?
No.
If they find out their dogs and cats can catch the coronavirus,
I heard that was debunked.
Was it not true?
I read that it was debunked.
Good. Did not happen.
Well, coronavirus
I've been very careful around animals.
It comes from, you know, that weird animal thing.
That's the...
So... I think this is a great start. We've already had a long meeting and a pretty complex discussion. Some of us have been up since 3. And we are missing a fairly crucial member of our team. Should we table this until we can regroup when we're back in action completely?
I don't have any objections, but if you have information you need for your next session, would you tell us now?
Yes.
So that we can get it ready?
Public comment.
For special meetings, yeah, we forgot.
So, and maybe we would just tack this on to a regular meeting, you know, but have it as an extended part of that meeting or something. Maybe that can work as well, but I recommend that we would do it at least a couple months out, probably, mm-hmm. from here, just so we have a little bit more time in the saddle.
Yep.
To make sure we're familiar with what the organization is. And I think that Commissioner Clary was working a bit on the board itself and talking about the board. I was thinking more about the organization when I was thinking about this, and I don't have as much information about that entity at this point.
Yeah. We need to meet with other public hospital districts and meet with, you know, to really do this properly, you need to meet with the public as well and get, you know, a lot of input from different quarters.
Mm-hmm. Do we have a mission statement and a vision statement already? We do. I think it's right.
Yeah, I don't think we do we?
We should.
EMS does, but we don't.
Right.
We don't have one?
Nope.
So public hospital district are put together.
So this isn't just a tweet. You know, this is like the foundational strategic plan for this hospital district.
Yeah. Sure should, yeah.
Wow. EMS does, but PhD doesn't.
I wish we could hear from the public. I really don't hear from many people. I mean, I hear from a few people, but good grief, there are thousands of people literally on the island.
Well,
most
people have no idea what this board does.
Don't ask right now because the coronavirus.
They think they're like, somebody, something's going on at the hospital. I'm sure you know all about that. And what are you going to do? You know,
yeah, so I wonder how we can hear. I mean, how do
what do we want to hear?
How do you hear from more people?
You know, but that's the other thing, too, is that we tend to hear from the same folks. We know what their views are. And we don't necessarily know if they are truly representative or they're just outliers.
We don't. Mm. I mean, there was a great study from last summer about aging, the one from the fair.
Right.
That was a great practice in receiving feedback from the public. Mm-hmm. And we could certainly do something like that. That's important.
Maybe do it again this year. And this time just ask about how's it going.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah.
Well, that's what, I mean, we need to know, like that asked what we wanted to know. So asking a question that we want an answer to is different than saying, come on in and tell us whatever you think about whatever.
Yeah.
Because that is just not...
We would have to put our heads together and decide really what we want to input.
And it seems like our next interaction with the public is going to be around integration. And, I mean, that's something that will need to happen, if whether us or whether you guys on the front lines, because we'll have to be talking about that, you know, or whatever we come up with. So that will probably come, I would think that would... We wouldn't really have a form unless we sent out like a questionnaire, a survey of some kind. I don't know if we'd have something where we were.
The chiefs have proposed in that, like community meetings and neighborhood associations and service clubs as part of their outreach and that process.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The annexation, but I would assume like the next step would be. doing more public outreach as well.
Although, I mean, I guess we heard from at one meeting that was pretty hot potatoes. We weren't yet seated.
Well, I just mean disseminated. I guess I mean disseminated.
You know, about there were some pretty vocal folks that were speaking about integration and we want it to happen and why isn't it happening and just go forward and let's make it happen.
And then some people said, no, we don't want
to. And then there were some that said, no, that's right.
It didn't work, blah, 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 blah.
Let's work on for the next time we talk about this, our vision statement and our mission statement, then moving forward for PhD. And
that's good. Nice little small chunk.
If that's everything,
just a little
chunk.
I
would adjourn this meeting. Okay. Yes, say one thing before we adjourn.
I think... This is just me, not that I wanted more meetings, but I think we really need to have more than monthly meetings right now. That's just me.
I agree.
I really do. I think we need a couple times a month or a couple more months to be able to really get up to snuff.
So we have another one this month, and so let's plan on another work session sometime in April. But if that coincides with something being like a joint meeting with
Fire
Board, then that would be
something
as well. So
that would be, yeah.
I agree.
I agree.
Which is actually a good question. Did you want me to start trying to schedule a joint meeting for April?
Why don't we have a steering committee meeting and we'll discuss it there and then we'll work on it.
Perfect.
Okay.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thank you all. Everybody, wash your hands.
Yeah.
Yes.
Get
masks.
Use some of this.
Hop in here. Somebody here cleaned off this table, disinfected.
Now you've got this to deal with on top of all the normal stuff. So
it's important.
It's no.